Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
And this is show number 90. And this is a show about technology and education as much as possible where they overlap.
We have been away for a little while.
Yes, really, I've been sick and parent-teacher conferences and the Super Bowl. We've been gone since our Christmas special, our holiday spectacular, right?
And I kept begging him to come record a
oh,
show.
Oh, whatever. You did not.
It's true. Well, okay, no.
No, that's never how it goes.
Whatever.
I'm usually the one that says, let's record a show.
Oh, whatever.
Except when I'm sick.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I've been sick, okay. But all right.
Okay, anyhow, we are going
feedback.
To
feedback.
Yes, we're going to talk a lot about a lot of technology items today. And
a lot's happened.
Yes. You can reach us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. And also, we're going to put links up to stuff we talk about today at thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
Yes. And you can also contact me on Twitter at twitter.com/psharkr. So add me to Twitter. If you don't know what Twitter is, check it out. I love it.
And on our blog, you can also find the Amazon search box, which is a great way to support our show. Thank you to those of you that did that, especially during the holidays.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Helping to support the show. And there's a donate button.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into what's happened in the tech world. There's been a couple of conferences and shows.
Yeah. So CES, probably the last Macworld, both happened. And CES was pretty much same old, except for the Palm Pre. Have you seen the videos of this thing?
Yes.
It's good. It's like the, you know, it is the, looks like it's fair competition for the iPhone. So, but we've said that before, or well, maybe we haven't. People have said that before about other phones, and then when they come out, they're buggy, they're slow, they're not as fast and as smooth as people thought they were going to be with the demo versions, etc. But this one, people have lots of high hopes, and it did look really, really impressive. So maybe Palm's not dead yet.
How about my new G1?
I've played with your G1. It is not even close to an iPhone. It is the next best thing of phones I have seen, but it's not an iPhone.
Well, you're a little bit of an Apple snob at times, so I would say that your assessment may not be fair.
What game were you playing the other day? Something with color blocks, and I'm playing real-time strategy games.
That's
enough said.
Personal choice, though. I enjoy that kind of game. We'll talk more about that, though, when we talk about our favorite apps.
Okay,
of late.
So. All right. So we're, yeah. Right. So Windows and Mac, and now we have G1 versus iPhone.
Yes. But then also you were mentioning Macworld happened, and it should be the last one as it's been known.
Because right. There's no more keynote there will be no more presence from Apple, which means Macworld probably won't happen next year, or it won't be anything like it was this year.
So
and Steve Jobs didn't even present the keynote this year, and of course now he's stepped down from for a while, maybe permanently. We'll see about that. But.
So is Apple trying to get a bigger presence at CES, or they just
don't want to do both of them? We don't know until next year, really, if they're going to be at CES. But I think more of it that most people are saying is basically, and Apple themselves are saying, that they don't really need to have a presence there, and that also the pressure to come up with some big, giant announcement every Macworld, even if it's not ready kind of thing, they don't have to worry about that anymore. Of course, if CES replaces that, well then, you know, what the heck, that's kind of silly. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So did anything special happen at this Macworld or anything come
out? Not really. iLife and iWork, new versions, and I've not tried iWork. I really don't care about iWork. iLife has got some nice features in it. I've tried it out. The places in iPhoto is nice. iMovie is an improvement, but it still stinks. It's still better to use the old iMovie or something like Final Cut or anything else for that matter. Even Windows Movie Maker, I think, is better than the new versions of iMovie. But it's not worth buying, I would say that. If you get a new Mac, you'll get the new iLife on it. And great. If not, no big deal. Wait till you upgrade your Mac kind of thing. So.
Okay. All right.
New GarageBand too, but no big deal there.
Okay, so let's talk now a little bit about some things that we got during the holidays gifts.
Yeah. So what was your main thing, Holly?
I'm not recalling. No, you gave me a netbook.
Yeah, an MSI Wind notebook. And of course, they're called netbooks, and it works great.
Yes, definitely.
And do you like it?
Yes, and this is going to be so girly, but it is very cute, I think. It's real small, and I really like the design of it.
You also got an iPod Nano, right?
Correct.
And you like that?
Yes, I love my iPod Nano. It's I use cute it too, all the huh? time. Yeah. Well, that's not the most important thing, obviously. One thing I like about my netbook is that it does come with a lot of hard drives.
Well, it's not a solid state drive. It's got a drive that spins, and I forget how big is it.
120.
120 gigs. So.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Built-in camera, built-in mic. Keyboards, okay. Touchpad could use a little work, but
it runs a little slow.
Well, it's a netbook,
right? Than what I'm used to, but I love it. Yep. So you wanted me to be honest, right?
Yeah.
It's
a little sluggish at times, but
I absolutely love it. I needed one.
There's
I
a way to make
one.
The processor run in the higher. I don't know if it's it can't be the memory because it's got a gig of memory. So I think. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be the processor. We'll have to figure out a way to make it run faster all the time when it's plugged in, no matter what, instead of scaling up, scaling down kind of thing.
Right. And then I also got a new game for my DS, the cooking game.
What's it called?
Don't know.
Don't know? Personal no. trainer cooking,
oh,
I
that's,
think.
There you go.
And we'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Right. But I've already fixed a few recipes off of it. None of them have been very successful.
User error.
Right. I've chosen some weird ones, though, that I wanted to try. So
yep. So it's fun. You like
it's
it.
Fun.
Basically,
I like it.
There's been commercials for it. You may have seen it, but it reads.
It's voice activated.
It's voice activated. So you don't have to have your hands on the DS. But
while you're cooking. Yeah.
It walks you through the recipes and it talks to you and shows you pictures and stuff like that. So.
Okay. So why don't you talk about something you got that you want to. Do you want to talk about the Belkin power strip?
Oh, yes. Yes. Got a power strip that has a switch that you can stick on the wall that's wireless that allows you to turn on and turn off. The power strip, and there's a outlet on it that's always on, or two outlets that are always on. The rest are controlled by the switch, which is great when you have a bunch of external drives plugged into, you know, something. You don't want all the drives to be running all the time. You just want them when you need them. So when I come home, I flip the switch and up powers all the drives, and then when I leave, I turn them off.
Right.
So you know, good for the environment, I guess, and then probably good for my drives that they aren't always up and running. So
right, very good.
So what else, Holly? What do we got there?
Let's just go ahead and move on into our tech topics today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You look to me like I'm supposed to say something else.
No, you usually do. So.
Oh, jeez. Harsh.
All right. First thing up, there's a new service that you've been using a lot on Mint.com.
Yep. It's basically if you have a lot of different accounts, like you have, you know, you have a credit card account. Financial accounts. You have a bank account. You have a checking account. You have a savings account. You have, maybe you have a portfolio with, you know, Zecco or Scottrade, student loans, you know, car loan, whatever. Mint.com allows you to view all that information in one spot. And it does some stuff with charts and showing you your spending habits, and it can email you alerts and stuff like that. And I've been trying it out, and I like it. I like it. I mean, I still have to go to the actual bank site sometimes. But Mint.com, and it's got an iPhone app. Mint.com allows me to quickly check or to let me know when, like, a large amount's been withdrawn from my account. It'll send me an email alert, or it will tell me when some large deposit has gone in. You can set up alerts. It's a very basic budgeting tool as well. I mean, it's not like, you know, Quicken or anything like that, but it's online, and it shows promise. It shows great promise. So
it's really just to kind of show you a comprehensive look at your financial standings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So just to show you.
Yep. Its integration with some services are better than others. The only one that hasn't worked real well for me is Zecco, but all the student loan stuff and bank stuff has worked extremely well. It gets you all the information right away. It syncs up. It's good. Right. It's good.
So it might be useful for some people out there.
Yep. So give it a shot.
All right. How about Boxe?
Boxe, which you have spelled wrong. It's Boxee. Boxe is a service that I think I tried it a long time ago, but it's gotten better. I don't know if I want to call it a service.
It
allows you to watch all sorts of stuff. It's basically like a TV interface for your computer. I don't know if that's the best thing to call it, but it allows you to watch online shows like the stuff you would normally see on Hulu, or you'd have to go to CBS, or you'd have to go to ABC, or you'd have to go to Hulu individually. It's an interface for all that online video stuff, including some video casts or podcasts as well.
So it's not a media player?
Yeah, I mean, it is a media player because it does play files. Stored locally on your computer as well. But it's really the killer app part of it is that you can go out and you can get to all these other services from one interface. So instead of going to 10 different web pages, you go to one spot. You try Boxe. So, and I've used it once or twice. I like it. It's okay.
Does it allow for RSS? Like, you can subscribe to...
I have no idea. I don't remember. It's been about a week since I played around with it. But I did watch a couple episodes of Star Trek on there and some other things. So it works well.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
Yeah, I was checking out Boxy.
Oh, I see.
And it's got like a friends thing to it, too, where you can take recommendations from friends and stuff like that. But I don't have any friends on Boxy yet. So if you're using Boxy out there, let me know and I'll add you as a friend. And then that I can see that being a killer app as well. If you had like 50 people on there that were your friends and you could see what they recommended and stuff like that.
Can I ask
it's
you
got a social aspect to
does
it.
It have a function as far as maybe being like a search engine for TV shows and movies?
It's more of browsing is how I found it. I don't remember if it has searching or not. You saw me playing with it. I don't really remember anymore.
Okay.
So I've been sick.
Yeah, that's
all right, excuse. Let's move on. Check out Boxy.
Okay.
It's free. It's fun. You'll get a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. So you'll find something you didn't know was out there. That's why I liked it. So.
Right. Okay, so Gmail has been adding new features, this and that. You can change around the looks and stuff. But you were mentioning multiple inboxes.
Kind of. They're getting closer to allowing you to check different accounts all on one page. But really, the multiple inboxes right now is just a way to display like different sets or different labels. So if you're forwarding, you know, from five emails, you're forwarding them all into one email account. You have to turn this on. It's in their experimental or one of their tabs or whatever. We can add in the show notes a link to it. But it allows you to it's just another way to organize the information coming in. So if you've got one email account and you forward from other accounts to that Gmail account, like other Gmail accounts get forwarded in, and you label them, this is a way that you can keep them all separate. So I'm still waiting for – there's some problems with this because on my iPhone mail program, I get doubles of things. So I'm going to have to actually turn this off because I don't like the way it operates on there. But they're getting one step closer to allowing you to check your 10 Gmail accounts at once, you know, with one login kind of thing. And they really need to do that.
Right.
So most people have more than one account with Gmail.
Yeah. True. Some people.
You have more than one account?
I certainly do.
I have like five.
My mother has only one.
And my mother doesn't have any.
Okay. All right. That's always the measuring stick, right? How many does your mother have? Okay. All right. Let's talk about our phones a little bit. I want to go first.
Go ahead.
Because I'm so excited. I got my Google phone, as the common name is, G1.
No multi-touch interface.
So, anyway, I was just going to mention a couple of applications that I use. I thought I could bring some of those since you bring your iPhone apps from time to time. You already mentioned Coloroid. I am hooked on that game. I know it looks silly if you just walk up and see me playing it, but it's a puzzle game, and it's a lot of fun. So if you have a G1, check it out.
It's like comparing a Nintendo DS game to an Xbox 360 game.
Ignoring. and it has, you know, some of the regular apps like Shazam that you've mentioned before, but there's also something called Shop Savvy, which I would recommend.
It's the one app that G1 has that is
you
better
said,
than iPhone.
When I showed you
that
it,
is
you
the
said,
one killer app
oh,
on the G1
so
over
cool.
the iPhone.
And it's you all were
because
excited.
It's all because the iPhone camera doesn't
can
focus.
Can I tell
well.
You exactly what it is? Okay. Yeah. You can take a picture of a barcode of any item really, and it'll go look up on the internet different prices for it. It'll find you the cheapest price. It'll find you places where you can buy that item. And I've used like some very obscure items. For instance, a book that I got in another country that I didn't know you could get here.
Okay, and so now it's really cool. How many times have you actually used it to do price comparison?
Well, I'm not a big shopper.
Ah, so now, you don't really use this app.
I'm not a big shopper, so I don't use it a lot.
It is cool, though.
But I can see if I need it, it's there, and there will be a time when I will need it. And there will be many times when you need it because you shop a lot. So you're going to be like, hey, Holly, get out here.
Has that ever happened yet?
No, but you have not been shopping a lot.
Okay. On the iPhone, the Amazon app does allow you to take pictures of products, and then they send you a link with price comparisons
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, but I think the other day you told me that wasn't working very well.
No, I didn't. It works fine. I said that it would stop working if too many people started using it because it's actual people looking at the picture and then finding the product. It's not automatic like the barcode thing.
Okay, so why don't you go on ahead and talk about your phone?
Okay, I have a couple recommendations for apps. One of them in the game category is iShoot. And it's a fun game with tanks. And there is a light version, so you can try it out. I tried out the light version. I liked it so much, I bought the full thing. And it's now right there with Field Runners as my favorite game on my iPhone.
Shoot. That's kind of a lame name. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Next up is Now Playing. I've probably mentioned this before. And when I've mentioned before, it was a way to get showtimes for your local theaters and see what was playing and what's upcoming releases and stuff like that. But they've added Netflix support now to Now Playing. Which has completely replaced PhoneFlix as my way of managing my Netflix queue, because you can move things around in real time. And when a movie's out in the theater, if it's in the Netflix database for a future release kind of thing, you can say like, oh, I don't want to see that in the theater. I want to see that on Netflix. And then there's a button right there and Now Playing to add it to Netflix. So very, very cool. I will say this, the first time you use it, make sure you have a Wi-Fi connection and you're not on Edge or 3G, because it originally gets a lot of information into your into the program, and then it's pretty smooth after that. And then finally, you've had this spelled wrong as well. It's IE. I'm looking at Holly's show notes. Tweety. No.
Okay, just fix it afterwards.
Tweety has replaced my other Twitter apps as my favorite Twitter app, and I did have to pay for it, but it handles multiple accounts extremely nicely and has a lot of features for following trends on Twitter and stuff like that. And I started using this almost right when it came out, I think I got it, and I've just been haven't mentioned it, or we haven't had a show in a while. Tweety, check it out. It's actually worth the money, especially if you have multiple accounts. If you only have one account, probably not worth paying for. So unless you're really into following trends and stuff like that, that's it for my apps.
Okay,
just seems there are many more, but I don't want to go into them now.
It seems like we're being a little choppy today. I don't know.
Well, we're out of practice. We're rusty, and I'm sick. Maybe you can hear it. I'm still a little stuffed up.
Yeah, you'll be okay. All right.
I was horribly sick for parent-teacher conferences.
Yes, which is usually the case for you, it seems.
Every year, second semester, it seems. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. let's talk about Ratings Writer.
Oh yeah, this has been a problem been a problem of mine for years now. I like iTunes, and I like how you can rate songs and then sort them by ratings and all that stuff, make playlists based on it and all that. But what happened was every time, like, I'd rate a bunch of songs, something would happen to my iTunes library file, or I'd switch computers and I'd forget to take the library file with me, or you'd upgrade iTunes and then something happened to your ratings. It was just a disaster, okay? And here was the problem, is that the ratings for iTunes are kept in the database file, not on the actual ID3 tag. Okay, so MP3s have these tags as part of their file, ID3 tags, and they have the information about the title of the song and, the year it was made, sometimes the genre, whatever is put in there. And there was nothing that iTunes would add for the actual star rating. So I found this program. Well, it's not really a program. It's just a script, and it's for Mac OS X. It's for Mac, called Ratings Writer, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes. And what it does is you highlight all the songs that you've rated, and you just run this script, and it copies all of the ratings. It looks at the rating and then puts that in the comments field of the ID3 tag for the MP3, which then means that it's part of the file. And then if you go to a new, if you do this whenever you have your songs done getting rated, that kind of thing, and you can do them all at once, or you can do them one at a time, as you rate songs or whatever. If you ever do lose that file, the iTunes library file, not your music, okay, and you import it to a new iTunes library, you can run Ratings Writer again to take that stuff out of the comments field and put the ratings back on it. Or if you're, and this is what used to be my big problem, is that I go from Windows Media Player to iTunes to Winamp to whatever, and you want to see things, well, now it'll always be in the comments field. So you can always search in the comments field for like 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars, no matter what program you're using in the future.
What about if that program uses 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 stars? 1 star.
Most people are on the 5-star program.
That's your response. Good. Okay.
I haven't seen the 3-2-1 ever. So. Right. But, and it's in the comments field, so you can still sort by 5 stars. You just search inside the ID3 tags. So it's like future-proof. It'll always be there, your ratings. And if you've rated thousands of songs, you really don't want to re-rate them. So.
Okay.
It solves a big problem for me.
Okay, great.
Or sharing between other libraries. Like, let's say I give you a bunch of songs for your laptop. Well, before Ratings Writer, they wouldn't have any way to get at what I rated them as. So.
Okay. I really
now it'll be in the comments
couldn't
field.
Say that. I mean, I don't really care what you rate them as. We had this conversation.
Right, I know, but I'm saying
we have different, a little bit different.
Well, let's say I'm putting it from the network or my laptop drive to like a new iMac or something like that.
Right.
You know, I would like to have, but I don't want to copy over the entire iTunes library file with all the extra junk. I just want the songs, like, or certain songs. Mm-hmm. Well, now I can get at the ratings no matter what computer or profile I'm on.
Okay. So what about, would you like my ratings?
I'm okay with that. Okay. I can always change them. That's the thing, is that you can always change it. So.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have Kindle 2.
Yep, this was announced more recently than some of the other tech news we talked about, and it's out. If you're some of the killer features of the new one is it's a higher resolution screen. Oh, should we tell people what Kindle is?
Yeah,
go ahead,
just in case people don't remember. Kindle is basically a way to read books in electronic format.
But not on a regular screen. It's actually on a screen.
It's easier
that,
on your eyes, and it makes it look more like if, paper, people say.
Yes. Well, in fact, because it is ink that's rearranging itself effectively. So it does look like paper. It's not a screen where you're going to get eye fatigue. It's like reading a book. And what happens is the reason that Kindle is taken off as opposed to like the Sony Reader, e-reader or whatever, is because it's from Amazon. And they have all those books that you can download, and it comes with free wireless internet for getting books and for certain sites and stuff like that, like Wikipedia is free and some other things, so that you can just wirelessly do everything and there's no syncing up with the computer or anything like that if you don't want to. Now, what they improved in this version is they improved the style. It doesn't look like it's something out of the early 90s anymore. It's a little bit more stylish. And the big thing is that – wait, what was the big thing? The improved screen. Oh, and now you can annotate. So you can like the equivalent of dog earing pages or adding your own notes, which a lot of people.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A lot of people said, well, I'll never go to, you know, digital readers because they won't be able to do the kind of things I do with a real book. Well, guess what? We're taking a step towards you can do everything you can do with a real book.
What about if they want to type a note? Then
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Annotate.
Does it have a keyboard though?
Yeah, it has a keyboard.
Okay.
Am I selling you on the Kindle here?
No.
You look intrigued by this.
So
when you go on a trip, instead of carrying $10, you just carry this thing. Or, you know, you don't have to remember to take your book. You just have to remember to take your Kindle, and you can download whatever latest bestseller just came out and start reading. Mm-hmm. So, and they're cheaper too. You know, books are New York Times bestsellers. I think they said are always $9.99. Okay. And there's also an option now for it to read to you.
How much is the Kindle itself though? The Kindle 2.
Oh, Kindle's expensive. Kindle 2 is like $360.
Woo.
Yeah.
You have to be a big-time reader.
Yes, I will never get a Kindle too. But you know, if I read a lot of novels, that would be a no-brainer. I mean, if I read more than 10 novels a year, I guarantee I'd be putting down for Kindle too right now.
I won't ask you how many novels you read a year.
Well, audiobooks over the summer, I usually read a couple.
Yeah,
I count that.
Okay, all right.
Some English teachers are out there probably cringing right now. I used to read a lot. When I was in middle school, high school, and college, I read a lot.
Yeah,
I read book after book after book after book. It's just now there are other priorities.
So. I read my novels in Spanish now when I read them.
Reading takes a lot of time.
It does, yes.
So do video games, but I find time for those.
Okay. What about Flock 2.0?
Okay, so I think I mentioned this a long time ago.
Flock 2.0.
And it was, if I mentioned it, I probably panned on it. It's come a long way. I've tried it again, and this is on Mac that I've tried it, and it is a social media / social web browser. So it's basically Firefox with a whole bunch of stuff built in for YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, Picasa, you name it, anything that's social sharing of media.
Can you use it for regular web stuff?
Yes. Yes. So it's a browser with all this stuff built around it to make your life easy. So when you want to share that picture with somebody, if they're on your friends list, it's a piece of cake, no matter what friends network they're on, you know, that kind of thing. And it does integrate pretty well with most of these services. And it's actually kind of won me over. I will give you a word of caution. It's definitely slower than Safari or Firefox that doesn't have a lot of extensions on. Because, I mean, it is a bloated web browser with all these services built in. So it is a little bit slower. It's especially slower the first 5 minutes or so after you load it. because it goes out, and if you have a bunch of networks, like I'm signing into my YouTube account, my Flickr account, Twitter account, etc., it goes out and it like gets checks all this information. So it is a little slow for the first 5 minutes, but it saves you time in that now you don't have to, you know, seek out all this stuff. And it's got an RSS reader that's actually pretty good. I like the way they handle the RSS in this. I'm sure there's Firefox extensions that do the same thing for the RSS, but it's just a nice package if you use a lot of social media stuff.
And you are doing that more and more, I notice.
Yes.
I am not.
Twitter.com/PSHARKR.
Okay, great.
That's PSHARKR. Sorry.
Okay. The last thing we have on our list here today is the free Microsoft Exchange from Google called Google Sync.
Called Google Sync.
So I have no idea what this is.
And this is available for other phones too. But what this does is, you know how companies, it's for other phones too. Yeah. What companies do is that they might run Microsoft Exchange, which allows them to have push email, push calendar, push contacts. So that when you update something, no matter where you update it, it updates everywhere at once. So let's say I add something to my calendar, my iPhone, instantly it's on my Google Calendar and my iCal on my home computer. Okay. Or if I update something on Google Calendar, it's instantly pushed to my phone. There's no like refresh or checking. As soon as you get new information, it goes there. Now, currently Google Sync works on the iPhone with calendars and contacts. They haven't got it working yet or haven't made it available yet for email. But once they do that, this is like you don't have to pay for Mobile Me to get push notification. Google's providing it for free, which is awesome. So for free, you can't beat it. It's really easy to set up. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's awesome. I love it. So when I add something to my calendar on my phone, it used to be to sync up my calendar on my phone. This was the big thing. To sync up my calendar on my phone with my Google Calendar and my iCal, I had to connect it to my computer. I don't have to do that anymore. So the iPhone doesn't need to be connected to sync for calendar or contacts. It automatically does it.
Can I ask you, where did you hear about this?
Via Twitter.
Okay. Very good.
Did you know that was where I heard about it? Were you setting me up?
No.
Okay.
Kind of wish the answer wasn't that, but
that's where I've been finding lots of stuff now. It's really helped me find things. So okay. Lots of cool stuff.
Good. Very good.
Depends who you follow, though. You gotta follow the right people.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for today.
Well, that we put a lot into those 27 minutes or so, didn't we?
Yes.
Check out the show notes at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. Follow me at twitter.com/psharkr.
That must have been the third mention. please email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E if you'd like any questions or comments. Oh, we also put a poll up on our blog. And this poll is asking if you create digital content for your students, audio or video. And then there's different options. Like if you don't do it, we want to know why. No, you don't have time. No, you don't have access to the funds or equipment.
Holly made
various
this poll.
Things.
Because okay. I don't even know what you're talking about, but okay. Sounds
good.
Yes,
you do. We talked about this.
Oh, no, the answers. I don't know what you're talking about, the answers.
Oh, okay.
We lots talked about answers. The gist of the poll.
Right.
Yep. All right.
He's putting that up as a caveat in case he thinks that my answers are ridiculous.
I haven't read it. Okay. I haven't read it.
I understand that. I'd also like to give a shout out to my cousin Shannon.
What?
Who I found out.
What?
No, I just found out she listens.
We're doing shout outs? What are you? Okay.
Well, my cousin Shannon, I didn't know she listened. She's not a teacher, and I don't think she has any desire to be one, but she does listen.
What does that mean? You're getting in trouble here.
For the tech content.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.